Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be talking about George and Tammy, which is a 6-episode miniseries on Showtime/Paramount. Showtime with Paramount. I'm still really confused on what that all means, but so many layers.
It's very complicated. I know that I watched this Showtime show on my Paramount Plus app. So there's okay. That.
And here's how I watched it. I watched mine on my Apple TV Plus app because my parents subscribed to Paramount through their Apple account. So there's I literally went through three layers of things to watch this.
I didn't know that Apple was like that and had that option.
Yeah, you can it's kind of like Amazon Prime where you can add on, and similar mm-hmm. with Hulu.
Yeah.
So
wow, how exciting.
It's wild.
That is very wild.
Truly thrilling.
It's you really can choose whichever app interface you like the best. You can pretty much watch anything.
It's true. I wish that my family would consolidate.
Yeah.
But I actually don't even know which one I would prefer.
I was just thinking that. I would probably choose Hulu. I don't know why. I just like it.
Hulu does seem the easiest, but I feel like I have to go down so far to what I'm currently watching.
I forgot.
I really hate that.
I do think we just recently talked about that, and that is a good point. Why I wouldn't choose Paramount, which is what I watched it on, is because they're one of the apps where you have to double pause. You know, where you have to you press your pause button that will then pop up the pause option. So it's you have to double click when you want to pause and play. And that is annoying.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. I've never experienced that.
I know. Every time I watch Drag Race on Paramount Plus, it's that. So I'm kind of used to it now, but it is really annoying. And I've noticed that my Max app also is like that sometimes.
That is so weird.
I really don't like it. Should be just a single click.
UX out.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's because you're watching on a Google Cast, whatever. What's that called?
Google TV.
Google TV. I wonder, because I'm watching on an Apple TV. I wonder if there's a difference or if it is by app.
I think that could be true, but maybe it's the Google versions of those apps, because it doesn't make me do that on Netflix or Hulu or the old HBO and everything. But you're probably right. That probably is where the difference is. Wow.
Well, I don't like it.
What a technical way to start this episode.
But isn't that what's fun about this podcast, is that we can discuss these things?
Mm hmm. Well, clearly we've thought about it a lot individually, and now we can finally get it off our chests.
And our desks.
Yeah.
So anyway, George and Tammy is nominated for a few Emmys, so we felt like we should check that off the list so that we can go into the Emmys in January or whenever those may happen.
Mm-hmm.
Having watched almost everything, hopefully. We'll see. But first, I think we have quite a slew of TV news. What do you have, Jordan?
Well, I'm going to start with what I'm most excited about, which is they dropped a trailer for the Scott Pilgrim anime they're making for Netflix. And something that I didn't know until I was seeing posts about it, it's going to be called Scott... whoa, that was really weird. It's I was doing beatboxing. On accident.
Dirty pop.
Now that song stuck in my head this entire episode, that's fun.
I'm so sorry.
It's going to be called Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. And I follow the author who wrote the Scott Pilgrim books, and he was posting about it. And he was like, it's not going to be a recreation of the books, which was kind of what I assumed. And it's going to be its own thing. So obviously similar and all the same characters, because the whole cast of the movie is going to be the voice actors and stuff. But that made me even more excited, because it's going to be fresh and new creative stuff. But the trailer looks really, really cool art wise and just fun. And I'm excited.
That is really fun. And the trailer looked great. Loved it. One of the few trailers I watched that we will discuss in this new section.
For both of us to watch it, that is a big deal. So,
well, and I'll only say I watched it because Jordan posted it. I wouldn't have watched it otherwise. I wouldn't.
Wow.
That's one of my biggest complaints, actually, in this news section. And I mean, with the strike in general, I'm having a really hard time finding any kind of information on things because the usual people that post trailers and such are not allowed.
I was listening to Who Weekly and they were discussing the Selena Gomez wrapped in a blanket meme. And they were like, she is brilliant because she's like interacting with the meme and kind of teasing herself because it's like she needs to be relevant and she is. She's being memed and she's dropping singles, but they have nothing to do with her show that's also currently airing. So it's like if you can still be in the conversation, that's like really clever way to be like people are thinking about you and then be like, oh, I should watch her show. So.
You should call into Who Weekly and tell them our theory about people attending the Eras Tour for that same reason.
I should. And now I'm wondering if they actually also talked about that. Because they probably did. Because it is. It's like that's the whole thing. Like that everyone needs to be out there and seen. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah. Otherwise, like you got to get in the headlines. But you can't promote
like, is
stuff.
That why Jeremy Allen White commented on Euphoria Girls' Instagram?
Well, they were, what a big topic of discussion was how he, because everyone's been saying, oh, he's calling the paparazzi on himself. And like, he's having all these PDA mm-hmm. moments and he's always like shirtless and like freshly pumped abs and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, he, because he's nominated for Emmys. Like, he needs to be like, oh, I was just thinking about that guy the other day. Like, yeah.
Wow. The paparazzi are probably thriving like they did in the early 90s, like in the 90s.
Seriously.
Again.
Seriously. Or it reminds Wild. Me of early COVID when like when Camila and Sean were like Sean. Walking around slowly.
So slow.
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorite videos of all time.
So good. Wow.
Well, something I'm excited about is that theater camp, which we have both talked about many a times, is going to be on Hulu starting September 14th.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's exciting.
Yeah, we can watch it whenever we want.
It is so good. I love it. It makes me happy and I cried at the end. So sweet.
Yeah, I wanted to see it in theater again, but I never got to it, so now I'm excited.
Perfect. Season 2 of Selling the OC is coming back on Netflix on September 8th.
Oh, wow. That's so funny because I didn't see that. And I keep seeing that, what's that guy's name? Tyler or something?
Mr. Brittany Snow. Ex-Mr. Yeah. Brittany Snow. Yeah.
Like, he's always in the headlines. And I'm like, how is this guy still in the headlines when, like, they haven't done another season of this show at all? That's why. Interesting.
And, well, aren't they splitting up, too? Or have they split up? So that'll be interesting in the season two.
Yeah, and like what's the other girl, Alex, that like is always like rumored, like they're so
yeah
close.
Yeah, yeah,
so like yeah. The most recent article I saw was like how Tyler is saying where he and Alex stand now, and I'm like, I don't care.
No, I'm really impressed that you even remember her name, to be honest, and his.
I'm just pulling stuff out of thin air, it could be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay, the Please Don't Destroy group from Saturday Night Live, aka the Nepo Babies of Saturday Night Live, are going to be writing and starring in Please Don't Destroy, The Treasure of Foggy Mountain, which is going to be a movie, I think at Peacock. Hmm. And Bowen Yang and Conan O'Brien and Meg Stalter are all making cameos, and so that has me pretty sold.
Yeah, that makes me more intrigued than just those nepitos,
just the nepos. For some reason, like, I think that their sketches are usually the more funny sketches of SNL, And I especially loved that one with Taylor Swift.
Yeah. So that one was great. Yeah. But was I just biased? I don't know.
We'll confirm later.
Yeah. I did see more info on season 3 of F-Boy Island that will now be on the CW. And it is confirmed that former bachelorette Katie Thurston is going to be one of the three girls.
Wait, it's going to be on the CW?
Yeah, the CW is the one who saved it. Isn't that interesting?
Okay, I didn't know this. I was thinking that it was still going to be on Max for this current season, but then canceled.
No.
How do we watch it?
I don't know yet. That is a big TBD because we have to watch it.
I guess YouTube TV. YouTube
TV. Oh, yeah, there we go. YouTube TV will save us. But yeah, it's Katie Thurston and then a model named Haley Okiowo and an influencer named Daniela Grace. And there's going to be 21 men that are either F-boys or nice guys. And I did see that Nikki Glaser is still going to be the host. Thank goodness.
Oh, good.
And I can't find the date, but I think it's like very soon that it's going to be airing. Oh, October 12th is when it's coming back. So that's actually a further away than I thought, but I'm so excited. I'm so happy it got saved. And the CW is also going to do the spinoff F-Girl Island.
Wow, fun.
I'm so excited. Like, this is our MCU.
F-Boy Island claim to fame.
Yes. these are the reality shows everyone should be watching. I was selling claim to fame hard last night for like a very long time. I was like, just listen to all these entertaining things. It is so funny. It's so good.
I literally feel like I've been trying to sell it to so many people and not that many people have been buying it into it yet. So I'm just waiting patiently, but it's not patiently. Ridiculous.
If you are in Utah specifically, which I know a lot of our listeners are, this is your season to watch. You will be laughing.
Start
so
with season two.
Hard. It's so funny. So yeah. Governor Cox should send out a little edict that everyone has to watch it.
Oh my gosh, I wish there was like a state-sponsored party for the finale episodes.
Oh my gosh.
I should look into that. I could go as press.
Yeah, press badge. Well, what if Franklin or Kevin Jonas would stop by? At least Franklin would.
Yeah, Kevin's always having to take a helicopter.
Sometimes he's not even somewhere in the episode. He is busy, though. He is busy on the Jonas Brothers Eras tour. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you know much about The Curse, the new Showtime series starring Emma Stone, Nathan Fielder, and Benny Safdie?
I did see a photo of, like, from it, and those okay, names that's, all that's, together.
That's basically all I had too. So I was like, I should hurry and like look up what this actually says. And Nathan Fielder is directing it and writing it.
Oh my
which,
gosh.
Okay, sold.
Yeah.
I mean, and Emma Stone, hello. Mm-hmm. And Benny Safdie. The IMDb bio thing says, The Curse is a genre-bending scripted comedy that explores how an alleged curse disrupts the relationship of a newly married couple as they try to conceive a child while co-starring on their problematic new HGTV show.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sold.
Wow.
I'm really excited. I don't see a release date, but I know that it's like premiering this fall. So
wow, I hope the world doesn't end before that movie comes out.
It's a series. I think.
Okay, even better.
You did say that. You did
episode series. You did start it by saying it was a series. I just forgot because it sounds like so cinematic.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, no, I almost just said something crazy. I almost said, is this Emma Stone's first TV show? But no, never forget Maniac. An amazing show that now unfortunately has been tainted because Jonah Hill is yet another bad man. But that show was so freaking good and Everyone really forgot about it.
Sad.
Very early Girl Meets Show days. That was like one of our first like five episodes, I think. Okay, this news kind of confused me a little bit. Did you see that Starstruck is having a third season that is starting August 28th? And that's on BBC. I don't know if that means that's the date it'll start for Max. But I did watch the trailer, and I just remember feeling like season two ended perfectly. Like, what a great happy ending for this show. And so now I'm like, another season? Why?
I have not seen the trailer. Interestingly enough, I was watching something on HBO Max, and like before the episode started, they were hyping up seasons one and two of Starstruck, like trying to get more people to watch it. And they're like, catch up before the new season, but they didn't ever say a release date. Cause I was like, I don't care about all this. I want to see the new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I loved season one and I liked season two, and yeah, I liked where it ended, but I'm not going to say no and not watch season three, especially where I feel like I'm in a drought right now.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like what my feelings on season two were, this is getting repetitive and I'm happy where it ended. And so I'm not that excited about a new season. Something I was thinking about, which is, it's kind of confuses me that I feel that way, because I feel like it has like all the ingredients for a perfect rom-com-y show. The lead, Rose Mottefeo, she's really great. I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm on a new season of it. But I really like her, and I would like to see her like kind of pop up everywhere, like a lot of other fun actors are lately. So nothing against her. I don't know. I'm feeling weird about it.
Guess we'll see. We'll make an educated guess. We'll have to watch it. Especially because I feel like we're the only people who watch it.
Part of me is impressed that they even got another season.
Yeah, agreed. Especially where we told them we liked where it ended up in season two.
They don't care, I guess.
I'm very excited about a movie that Apple Plus is releasing November 3rd. It is called Fingernails, and it's featuring Jeremy Allen White, Annie Murphy, Jesse Buckley, Luke Wilson, Riz Ahmed. I mean, that's pretty killer cast.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't know that much about it other than that cast. I'm sold already. Mysterious, romantic love, desperate couples. Those are all the buzzwords I just pulled out of this bio.
I did see something about it. The fingernails of it all was that it's something like you can know who your soulmate is if you rip off one of your fingernails or something like that.
Oh, you know what? I see my Instagram post that I have saved has more information. It says like it's billed as an eternal sunshine of the spotless mind for the dating app age. The movie imagines a world in which a machine can accurately determine whether the couple is in love by studying a subject's fingernail, which has been willingly pried off. The goal is to get a match. Spooky.
Very spooky.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I am too. I'm definitely intrigued, and that gives me the shivers a little bit, but like in an intriguing way.
Would you do it? I guess we'll see. Let's watch the movie first and then
we'll discuss. Yeah, I'll have to know. My fingernails mean a lot to me.
Yeah, that's true. Man, I'm like, I would take them all off right now if it wouldn't hurt.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, can I be numbed? Can I be put under? Yeah. They released the pictures from Fargo season 5. I'm sure you looked at those and said, "Auga."
I did. Please send them to me.
Okay, I will. And you'll say, "Auga."
I love saying that, because, so I can't wait.
Because it follows a sheriff in North Dakota named Roy Tillman, John Hamm, who's hot, .. on the trail of Dorothy .. Lyon, played by Juno Temple, a seemingly run-of-the-mill housewife who finds herself darting from authorities in Minnesota and North Dakota. I can't wait to hear her do that Minnesota accent. And him, too. Although Roy's son, Gator, played by Joe Keery, wants nothing more than to follow in his father's footsteps. He can never quite live up to Roy's expectations. Also, Roy. We love Roy. Roy is a good sign
we
to have.
We love the name
They're
Roy.
Like, we gotta have a character named Roy because it'll give us good mojo.
Name recognition.
People love the Roys. Name everyone Roy.
People miss the Roys. They'll watch anything with a Roy in it.
And like, I mean, they caught my attention. So yeah, I'll send you this. But yeah, it basically looks like Don Draper, but he's wearing a cowboy hat and like a shearling coat with like a furry collar.
Into so, it. Feast Haven't your seen eyes. It. Into it.
So yeah, that'll be good.
Okay. I'm excited about that. I feel so bad for A League of Their Own cast because they are just going through whiplash and their like short little second season that they were offered has now been canceled and ripped away.
And they're mad, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Abby Jacobson apparently like called them out and said it's cowardly, especially because they're trying to blame it on the strike. Really upsetting, really sad. Okay, George and Tammy, starring Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon. Want to give a brief overview?
Yeah, so basically it's like a biopic TV show about Tammy Wynette and George Jones, who in the like 60s and 70s were they're a married couple and they were seen as like the king and queen of country music. And they had an extremely tumultuous relationship and both of their lives were just like full of drama and it's starring Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon, like you said already.
Yeah, I didn't really know anything about them.
Mm-mm, I literally only knew the song Stand By Your Man. That's the only Tammy Wynette song I knew. I had never heard of George Jones before, so it was very educational for me.
But basically how the show starts, where the show starts is when they first kind of meet. And basically Tammy and George fall in love, so George kind of takes her away from her regular life that she's been in and completely changes her life. And so we thought it'd be fun for our top three to name musicians we wish would sweep us off our feet and give us a new life. I can't wait to see if we have overlap because I'm sure we will.
And in this scenario, it's already, like, completely fiction, obviously. So in this scenario, all of these musicians are single and don't have yes. I wouldn't be a homewrecker in this scenario.
No Ariana Grande here.
No.
Okay, who are your three musicians that you're waiting to sweep off your feet?
Well, similarly to last week, the real right answer, like, real life for real answer, we love Jack Antonoff. I just can't think of anyone that's more husband material that's also a celebrity and a musician than him, so that's just kind of a given
for both of us,
for both of our top threes. Yeah,
yeah, it was a big weekend for the Girl Meets Show households.
It was big, it was happy and sad all at the same time, to quote Kacey Musgraves. Yeah. And yeah, he's a married man now, whoop-de-doo for him and Margaret Qualley. But besides him, one of my other ones, I said Childish Gambino, Donald Glover.
Oh, great answer.
If he came knocking down my door begging me to leave with him, like in this show, because in the first episode of the show, I felt like it was actually pretty romantic, because like her husband sucked. He was so lame and controlling and manipulative, kind of, and blah blah, just lame dud. And like I felt like Michael Shannon was like, I don't ever think of him as kind of like a hot older man or anything like that, but like I felt like he was very charming,
kind of intriguing.
Yeah, he was super charming. I was into it and I could totally see the appeal. So it's like, I mean, just imagining Donald Glover being like, I want to like make music with you and I'm in love with you and like let's run away. Be like, yes. Sure.
No more questions.
Twist my arm. Yeah.
Let me just grab my dog.
Yeah. I'm not even breaking like a lease. Like I'll just tell my parents who I rent
I'll
from.
I'll text my parents.
Yeah, it would
they'd
be,
probably just be thrilled.
It would be. They would be so happy. So yeah. And then one of the other people that also he literally is a husband, and so I know he is fun, cute husband is Joe Jonas.
Oh, that's a great answer too.
He is just like he's so funny and he is just like a little goofball and he is a short king married to a tall queen and
mm-hmm.
like he is just like kind of just like darling and also steamy hot. It's just perfect.
Truly. Truly, truly. Wow, I can't believe A, I didn't think of him, and B, you guys are a perfect couple.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, mine kind of go in two different directions.
Ooh.
There's one direction where it goes people who are adjacent to Taylor Swift, and that's why I want to be involved with them.
Yeah.
Or there's another arm that are people who dated Taylor Swift.
It's all just getting... So you're only one degree away from Taylor Swift, basically.
Yes. And, like, it honestly, I wasn't even planning that. I was just looking at my list, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Joe, for me, is... Joe works in that. He's in that category,
too.
Oh, yeah,
too. That's true. Joe is an ex.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so wild. Because, so, Jack Antonoff, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I could also say Justin Vernon from Bon Iver.
Uh-huh.
I just saw him in concert, so I'm a little bit on, like, a Bon Iver kick.
Totally.
And then also Aaron Dessner. I love The National. So, like, I love both of them so much individually anyway.
They would be such sweeties.
Or my other two are John Mayer and Harry Styles. And those are probably my main choice of I would do anything for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting if, like, let's say in real life, John Mayer, like, starts publicly dating a girl who, like, is a huge Swiftie. That would be very interesting.
He was kind of seen with, like, Esty Heim not too long ago, and I was like, this is getting interesting.
I don't remember hearing anything about that. What?
It was, like, at a Dodgers game or something, and, like, I think they were just, like, talking.
Oh, interesting.
But also, like, he's besties with Cassie David, and
yeah.
She's friends with Taylor.
Their circles, there's a fine line in between, and it's a Venn diagram of
yeah
them all, their circles. They clearly have similar taste in people, basically.
Yes.
Okay, all of the guys that you mentioned are just, like, would just easily fit into the Taylor vibe and be perfect fits
the
into
Taylor
your
Goff
life.
Vibe.
Yes.
Thank you. I agree.
Goffies will be your fans.
Goffies. I hate it. But so I've basically named like a million people. But also I'm curious if you had this person on your bonus list, Brandon Flowers.
Oh my gosh. No, that's such an obvious one.
Yeah.
I didn't
really
even think
thought
about
we were going to have overlap.
Yeah. We went in all these different directions. I knew Harry had to be on your list. It's just,
he honestly is the last one I thought of. Isn't that shocking?
Yeah. That's crazy. If he came to my house and begged me and told me he was in love with me, of course I would go.
How could you say no to that voice?
You couldn't.
You could not.
Just irresistible. Everyone knows it.
Well, here's to hoping any of those people come knocking down our doors.
Literally, like, begging. He, like, begs her in this show to go be
yeah.
with him and sing with him. And I was smitten. I loved that first episode. It really had me hooked on the show.
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting because I haven't really watched a dramatic and kind of depressing show in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because there's been no shows, but usually that is my favorite genre of show. But it was, this show was sad.
It was really
a little hard to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked Michael Shannon's acting and impersonation of George, because it was like you felt for him. And like, even though at times he was literally one of the worst humans I've ever seen ever, you still were like rooting for him to like figure it out and like had some empathy for him.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
That's so true. I think because something, I mean, it's a true story. And so it's just crazy how all of these stories are like so similar, you know, like these famous people and they have an addiction and they ruin all their relationships and all this stuff. But I feel like it, the acting did bring something like special to it, kind of like I did feel way more sympathy for his character, even though at times I was like scared of him and really wanted Tammy to be as far away from him as possible. But like he did bring a lot of those sympathetic aspects to his character, and it was really sad. And yeah, it was more interesting than sometimes a biopic show can just be kind of like, oh, another show like this. Oh, it's like Walk the Line, you know, stuff like that. So I liked it.
Totally. Yeah, I really liked it too. I loved the 6 episodes. I did feel like it got a little repetitive because it was like kind of a cycle where I was like, I kind of know where this is going.
Yeah.
But it was visually so stunning. Like, every single set and every single costume was so beautiful. I was obsessed. Like, the cinematography was amazing. And actually, that's one of the Emmy nominations, which I'm happy for. Like, it was so beautiful to watch.
One of my notes is specifically about the costumes. They, like, blew my mind. Every year was like, it was fun to see time go by and kind of see the costumes shift a little bit. And as they got more money and like, and it was fun too, because like George Jones apparently cared a lot about his clothes too. And so like him being so particular about his outfits was, I don't know. It's like the men and the women both had really, really fun costumes the whole time. That does actually, I will complain about Steve Zahn's wig for the majority of the show was a little distracting and looked very low quality compared to like the rest of the hairstyles. He was pretty amazing in this show because his character is like kind of all over the place of like, at first I really liked him. And then he has like a major, he becomes more important and it's like crazy to see. And I mostly know him from like That Thing You Do or like other like happy, funny comic relief characters. And so for him to like be essentially like another villain as the story goes on, like it was pretty shocking to me.
Yeah, I agree. On all fronts, I felt like because the costuming and like all of the wigs, like Jessica Chastain, which we haven't even shouted her out yet, but she was literally amazing.
Amazing.
Like all of the wigs that everyone was wearing were so good. And then like, so for him, it was almost like a stark, like, whoa, like what happened? Did they like forget that they needed to fix his wig and didn't have time or something?
Maybe it's like, I mean, it is kind of interesting how he is a total side forgotten character for so much of the show. So maybe it is like they're trying to make him look like kind of like a loserish, like pushed to the side kind of guy for a long time.
Yeah.
So it does. And it kind of did. Like, I didn't even recognize him right at first.
No. I like saw that he was in the show on IMDb and I was like, I don't even think I've seen him yet.
Yeah. Same.
So like he does kind of stay in the shadows until the end or like the middle.
The because not only were Jessica and Michael amazing at acting, they were also amazing at singing.
So yeah, good. I was wondering if they used the real songs or if they were the ones singing.
I think I read that they were actually doing their own singing, especially because like wow. I said, the only song I knew was Stand By Your Man, and that was for sure not the real one. Mm-hmm. And I am only taking the comments on TV Time as truth, but they were all saying, wow, I can't believe that they're doing their own singing. Like, so all those people probably read that somewhere too, because they were good.
Okay, that makes sense.
They were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. But I was like, it was so good. I was like, I just assumed that they were just like using the real songs. Wow. That is really cool. Yeah, I wish I... I'm interested to see how it does at the Emmys. I haven't really heard that many people watching it. Mm-hmm. I was reminded while I was watching this that, you know how Jessica showed up to the Met Gala with blonde hair?
I forgot.
I think it, I kind of forgot about that too until I was like, oh yeah, like I think that, I wonder, I think this was the role she was like semi-promoting when that happened.
That makes sense. And so does that mean that that was sometimes her real hair, I guess?
No, it was a wig at the Met Gala too.
Oh, I thought it was like she had dyed her hair and so she went into the Met Gala with her bleached hair, but she wore one of her wigs to the Met Gala.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's funny.
But kudos. She really looked so good and was so good that honestly I'm giving my crush of the week to her because
well, you stole mine. Same slayed. Crush.
Oh no. I was like, there's got to be a reason why. I mean, that's just how the conversation flowed. But I was like, I cannot believe we haven't brought up Jessica Chastain.
Well, we do always do that where we like, if there's someone that's going to be our crush, we like wait to talk the most about them for the end. But yeah, that's so funny. But she was so amazing. And we found out that Michael Shannon's actually only 3 years older than her. And I couldn't believe that. She is just like,
it's glowing. Shocking.
Not that she's old, but like I just really never even knew how old she was because she kind of just seems like a not even a human being, like just kind of a goddess.
She's always kind of looked exactly the same since we first even met her.
Yeah.
And so, which was so long ago. So it's just wild.
Seriously. But yeah, she was great. I also feel like she was just... like, she's another person where it's, like, especially as the show goes on, you're just, like, shaking your head at all these decisions. But so many, like her addictions all literally stemmed from things that weren't even her fault. Like, botched surgeries and things she didn't even give permission for. Like, it was just, like, really, it was sad. She, Tammy Wynette lived a really sad life, and Jessica Chastain made her lovable and sad and imperfect, and she was amazing.
Yeah, if you're gonna watch Jessica Chastain play any Tammy, I would choose this Tammy over the movie Eyes of Tammy Faye.
It is really funny because it is so hard not to see the title George and Tammy and not think Eyes of Tammy Faye or Pam and Tommy. Like, it is a little confusing, but it this is pro well okay full disclosure, I didn't actually ever watch The Eyes of Tammy Faye. But I feel like, I think this was better than Pam and Tommy. I feel like this is probably the best of all those three similarly named things.
I agree. 100%. Well, there you have it. Another show we recommend. And might be hard to find, but you can find it wherever you can find Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
No matter what app that is.
If there's a Showtime add-on, just do it. You'll like it. Just try it.
And you're going to need it for that Nathan Fielder show we talked about earlier. So
exactly.
Might as well try it now.
Exactly. Dust it off from the last time you watched Yellow Jackets and try it on. There's some good stuff there.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.